this word's been stirring in my heart ever since I was sharing that word 2 weeks ago. And I mean, it's been stirring and I'm ready to give it. I'm ready for you to hear it. Amen. So Lord, right now we yield to your word. We honor the word of God and we honor you, God, because you are wanting to speak to us this morning. We honor and we take heed to what you are desiring to say to us. And even as the word is going forth, I believe for it to bring attention to things in our hearts. And this morning, I declare freedom over all this people who hear this word in Jesus' name. Those in agreement, amen. Amen. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, I was sharing with you about Israel when they were in Egypt. And after Joseph passed and his brothers passed away, Israel had become a great and mighty nation there in Goshen, there in Egypt. A great and mighty people. And it says that they were mighty in strength and in number. They had become a massive, massive amount of people. And in Exodus chapter 1, I read this, but I'm just going to touch over it quickly. I'm going to start with verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And Israel built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. And the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And Egypt, were in dread of the children of Israel. So they're seeing how Israel is so much bigger and so much stronger than they are, and they are afraid of them. So they make a plan. Let us deal shrewdly. When you look up that word, let us deal subtly. Let us conspire to deceive and defraud them. Let us conspire to do this. And they set taskmasters over them to afflict them. And that word there was to look down upon, to browbeat, to intimidate with their words, to abase, meaning to belittle them or degrade them by the words of their mouth, to defile, to hurt, to ravish them by their words. Notice the enemy used words. They used words. They deceived them. They lied to them to make them feel like they were less than, to intimidate them, to belittle them, to make them feel inferior. And it was all a lie. They were bigger than Egypt. They were stronger than Egypt. It was all a big fat lie. But Israel believed the lie. And they cowered down. They believed what the lies were. And so because of that, Egypt oppressed them and afflicted them. And all the while, Egypt was scared of Israel. Yet they afflicted and oppressed them. And the way they got away with it was by lying to them, deceiving them, telling them all this stuff, making them feel inferior. Now, I asked two weeks ago, how many of us have believed the lies that the enemy brings against us? How many of us have done it before? We all have. We all have. He cunningly, deceptively lies to us to make us think he has the upper hand, to make us think we don't have what it takes. When all the while the enemy is afraid of you finding out who your God is and who he says you are. That's really what he's afraid of. Just like Egypt was afraid of Israel. The stuff that the enemy says to you is to get you to question who God is, to question his goodness. The stuff he says to you is to get you to not realize who you are in God, in Christ. To get you to question his purposes and your part in them. To get you to question the legitimacy of God's word. To get you to question it. Is it really real? Is it really powerful? Is it really true in my situation? And so the devil lies to get us to question this stuff. So every lie is meant to get my mind, my thinking in a place that's contrary to what God says or who he is or who he says you are. Do you see that? All the stuff, the lies he's telling you is to get you into that place. That's why to me, this is to me such a big part of what we do here at Church on the Rock is give you the truth, is to preach truth so that you have truth undergirding you so that you don't believe lies. Because if you know truth, then you don't so easily fall for a lie. I want us to learn who our God is, understand who he is, the power of who he is, the power of his word, and that his word doesn't fail and he doesn't fail his word. And that we are who he says we are. And we can do what he says we can do. Not what we think we can do, but what he says. His whole thing is to get you in a place where you are believing stuff that's contrary to what God has said. That's exactly what he did with Israel. They believed the lies that Egypt said. And it messed with them right here. It messed with them. These lies that the enemy suggests to you, it's like he doesn't come up with new stuff, okay? He's not that smart. I can't think of the word I'm trying to say. He's not that smart. He doesn't come up with new stuff. He's been around a long time, but he's also studied you long enough to know what works on you. And the stuff that worked last year doesn't work this year, but he's aware of that too, so he tries some different ways. Come on. He does. And these lies, like I said, these lies are to get you to question who God is, who he says you are, and the power and legitimacy of his word. Let's look at a few examples. Just, you can turn here if you want to, in Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, or you shall not touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, you will not surely die. God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Do you see? I mean, from right out the gate in creation, right out from the very beginning, His whole thing has been to cause men and women to question what God has said and question who He says you are, what He says about you. God had already He already made them in His own image and likeness. They already were like God, okay? They already were. But all He was trying to do is make suggestions to cause her to question the Lord and how God had said He had made her and Adam. Okay? In Luke chapter 4, Jesus in the wilderness, God had just said in chapter 3 verse 22, when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Ghost came on Him like a dove, and God said, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Chapter 4, just a few verses later, what happens? The enemy comes along, the devil comes along and says, "If you are the Son of God, then you can cause these, you can turn these stones to bread." I mean, He's just coming off of a fast. So, see, He's doing exactly the same type thing to get him to question when he's just come off of a 40-day fast and is hungry. He's going to try to cause him to question. However, Jesus answers him with the word. Because what? Truth dispels a lie. Truth is what dispels a lie. Now, read with me and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to let's take off from here. I went right past it. Ephesians 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." You, that's the understood subject here, you put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, his deceptive, cunning plans that he plans against you, right? Just like Egypt with Israel. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Our warfare is not a physical warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places," high places. Those are file and rank of demonic spirits, okay? That's what our fight is against. That's what our wrestle is against. Our warfare, you might say. It's not fight, but our warfare is against those. "Therefore, in light of that, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Then he says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all," actually the meaning of this right here is talking about out in front of it all, out in front of it all, "taking the shield of faith wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Stop right there. I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Translation. Check this out. "Now, my beloved ones, I've saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of His explosive power flowing in and through you. put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. A lot of Christians need to hear that again. Our hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under heavenly realms. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you are protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take your faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp sword of the spoken word. Wow. Wow. So God has given us a complete set of armor to protect us against the strategies and plans of the enemy. And his strategies always include lying to us. He's the father of lies. That's all he does is lie. There is no truth in him, the word tells you. If he says anything that starts to sound like the truth, like when he tried to quote some scripture to Jesus, even then he distorts it, perverts it, and applies it all wrong. Doesn't he? His lies are to get you what? To doubt who God is, to doubt who God says we are, to doubt God's purposes and our participation in them, to doubt his word, to doubt the truth and the truth of who he is and what his word says about you. Amen. To doubt, period. Everything about God. Now, to believe the lie puts me believing contrary to truth. Right? If I buy his lies, if I buy any lie he tells me, you can't do that. You know you're going to die of that. You know you're going to deal with that all the rest of your life. You know you're never going to come out from under the debt of that. You know you're never going to make it. You know you're never going to be able to blah, 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 blah. If you buy that lie, you just bought what was contrary and you're believing what's contrary to the truth. So he says, above all, out in front of all in verse 16, take the shield, take your faith as a shield out in front of you so you can quench or extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. What are the fiery darts? Lies. They're lies. Now, he uses faith as a shield to protect against lies because faith is anchored in the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is anchored in the truth of God's word and who he is. So when I keep my faith strong and out here in front of me in place, it will extinguish those lies. If my faith is in his word, right? All right. But if a lie gets by, ever had a lie get by? Hello? If a lie happens to get by, there's another tool that God has given me. I mean, we also have that helmet of salvation that protects our minds from the word. But haven't we still had lies get by? So now there's another tool we can use, which is called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, this sword of the Spirit is not this big old 4-5-6 foot sword that we've got out here like this. Okay? Sorry, y'all. Whoops. I get excited. It's actually called a Makaira, which is a 16 to 18 inch dagger-like weapon that you use for close combat. It's a sword, but it's a short sword. It's sharp and it's short, and it can be used to remove those darts, those lies, out of your shield. You see that? If one gets in my shield of faith and gets by me somehow and gets in, I can use this little short Makaira to pop that thing out, to get rid of it, to remove it, dig it out. And this little dagger is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's the truth of God's Word that will remove the lies that get through. Isn't that good? That's so good to me. So if we've allowed lies to get in, we've got to use this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit gives us to dig them out with. Now, if I entertain the lies, how many of you entertained lies before? If you haven't, then you're lying. Right? We've entertained lies. So if we entertain the lies, then I'm creating an arena right here in my mind. I am setting up an arena where those lies, those thoughts can begin to undermine and eventually uproot what I believe about God. Do you hear that? If I entertain those lies, I create an arena right here in my mind. That arena becomes what? The battlefield. That's why it's called the battlefield of the mind. Becomes a battlefield. And if I keep entertaining and I allow those thoughts, they can eventually undermine and uproot the truth that I believed about God. The truth that I believed about who He said I was. The truth that I believed about His purpose and me being able to participate in that purpose. The truth about what He said about my body, or about my family, or about my children, or about my finances, or about my future. Amen. Now, the devil has no power against God, never has, never will. He can't ever win against Him. But right there in that battle, on that battlefield, in my mind, right there, if I think on those lies and I meditate on those lies begin to undermine and overtake the truth. And then the things that I knew to be true, I'm uncertain of anymore. Problem is when you empower the lie, when you think on it and give place to it, you empower the lie. And when you empower the lie, you empower the liar. That's the truth. He's like, I got her right where I want her. Not over God, but right there in that battlefield, that place. Now, the truth of God's word has all of heaven backing it, and God backs His own word. He backs His own word. The lie has no power behind it except what you believe. And if you believe it, then you empower it. Right? And remember, every lie is sent to overthrow my understanding of who God is, who He says I am. Wouldn't it have been nice if Israel had just realized the power of who their God was and what He had said about them? They could have gone, no, Egypt, y'all crazy. not true. Actually, we are far greater than you because of our God. Not because we're strong, not because we have more number, even though we do have all that going for us, but because of our God. But no, they didn't. Every lie is sent to overthrow and undermine my understanding of who He is. Again, that's what the lies are always about, right? My identity in Him, who He is, etc. So every lie is a suggestion. I'm keeping on saying stuff over and over because one way or the other, we're going to get it. We're going to get a hold of it. Every lie is a suggestion to war against what I believe. And if I entertain it, if I think on it, if I meditate on it, and what about if I start talking about it? Now I'm really giving power to it. Don't I? Then I really start giving power to it. In me. In my mind. You know, you start meditating on it, you start thinking about it. I'll tell you some that I have had happen before in time past. I've told you these before. It's nothing new. And that's stuff like, maybe you don't need to keep pastoring. Maybe they're tired of hearing you. Maybe you're getting older and they just want somebody fresh in here. Maybe God wants to raise up someone different in this hour. And you go, and you think on it. Been there, done that. Been there, done that. But if I can start not just thinking on it, meditating on it, but I start talking it out of my mouth, then I really add power to it. Are y'all hearing me? What I'm doing is I'm watering, I'm fertilizing. He dropped the seed of a thought, of a lie in my mind. He dropped it like a seed. Now I'm watering it. I'm fertilizing it. It's going to grow up and affect my thinking about how I look at God. It's going to affect how I think about myself. Come on. It's going to affect how I respond to things. It's going to affect how I believe His Word. And it will affect even me praying. And being able to believe God for stuff. I know I'm telling the truth. I know I am. Think about Israel. They believed the lies so much that even when God sent Moses to deliver them, they actually got out of Egypt, okay? Miraculously, miracle upon miracle upon miracle God did for them. And they still thought they'd be better off to go back. They were so messed up in how they thought about stuff. They had drunk the Kool-Aid that Egypt had dished out. And they believed it and believed it and believed it and meditated on it and agreed with it and said it out of their mouths so much, they believed it. And when it was time to be free, they couldn't even be free. Again, the lie has no power behind it except what you will believe. And when you believe the lie, you empower the lie and you empower the liar. All right. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10. You know, it's interesting to me, this word today, because it's like we take that with Israel in Egypt, we take that with Jesus in the wilderness, we take that with Eve in the garden, we take the armor of God. And now we take this part and we just start pulling it all together and you see where it all fits together properly to bring us freedom. To bring us freedom. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Just like what we read in Ephesians 6, our warfare is not carnal, it's not flesh and blood, It's with principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So we're not warring in the flesh. Goes on, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We already read the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. They're not flesh weapons, but mighty in God for the pulling down or the overthrow of strongholds. Let's stop and look at this just a minute. A stronghold is created when we believe a lie. Now, one stone is not a stronghold, okay? One stone is not a stronghold. However, stone upon stone upon stone, lie upon lie upon lie upon lie, come on, lie upon lie that begins to affect our thinking creates what is called a stronghold, like an impenetrable fortress is what a stronghold is. These stones are these lies and thoughts and suggestions that I'm listening to and I'm dwelling on and I'm rolling it around and around and I begin to believe it. And just like the analogy of the seed germinating and growing and so forth, I am in this way, I am building a stronghold, a strong fortress, a habitation for the devil to dwell in. And I don't even realize he's there in my mind. I don't even recognize that he's hiding in there. Do y'all hear me? He's hiding behind all these stones and bricks of lies that have become a pattern of thinking that I got messed up on when I started believing those lies and meditating on them and thinking about them and just rolling them around and around and believing one after another after another after another. I believed more and more, and it became a stronghold affecting how I think. He said our weapons are mighty in God for the pulling down or the overthrow of these strongholds. You have to overthrow those patterns of thinking because they've been formed by believing lies. You're going to have to overthrow them with truth. Amen. Do we realize that when we've believed lies and it starts building up stone on stone in our mind and patterns of thinking, do we realize that it's giving the enemy permission to steal, kill, and destroy? Because we believe lies. Do we realize that? It's giving him permission in our life. My God, we want to get a hold of this. He said our weapons are mighty in God for the pulling down, the overthrow of these strongholds. We have to pull them down. We have to pull them down. He says in verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing. We got to cast it down. It means it's a violent throwing off. Is what it means. Violently. The Passion Translation says, demolishing every deceptive lie. Every lie, every deception that he has fed us. That's not a passively done thing. He said, cast it down. Violently throw it out. It's a violent overthrow. I've got to come to a place where I'm realizing, this thought, this stuff going on is a lie. It has come to war against what God said to me about my children, about my life. It is a lie that the enemy has come to say to me about who God is and his faithfulness to me. And we've got to get violent about it. As far as, I don't mean like this way violent about it. I'm talking about where our minds are concerned. We've got to get aggressive with this. And say, I'm not buying your lies anymore. And we take the truth of God's word and we overthrow those things. I refuse this mess to stay in me another day. I refuse to allow what has come, these thoughts that are contrary to who you are, God, to what your word, what you, the truth of your word. I refuse to allow this stuff to stay. Whatever it is, my health, my money, my marriage, my whatever, my kids. Do you realize your destiny's on the other side of winning this war? Or you can get part way down the road, but to get to destiny, we got to win these battles. Because he's always lying about something new. Every new ground you're taking and you're getting somewhere in God, he comes up with some new stuff because he's been around a long time. And he's studied you all your life. And he's studied people like you. Come on. He says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Here we go. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And having and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Listen at this. What he's saying is it's not enough just to get rid of the thought. It's not enough just to get rid of the bad thought. You got to replace it with what God is saying. It's not enough just to get rid of it. No, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. No, you're going to have to answer that lie with truth. You're going to have to do that. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, of his word. Bring every thought into obedience. That's why I have to replace lies with truth. That's the way you have to do it. You got to take them captive to the obedience of Christ. That's to his word. Mm-mm-mm. You know, my thought life is supposed to be a good thing. All kinds of creative ideas are there. It's not supposed to be something that's used against me or used to cause me to question who God is or to question his faithfulness to me, to question what he has said to me. Again, think about Israel. Because they believed the lies. I want you to hear this now. This is a really big deal. Because they believed the lies of Egypt, they cowered to Egypt, and they became oppressed by Egypt, and they became slaves to Egypt. Do you hear that? When we buy the lies, then what happens is we cower to what the enemy says. We become oppressed right here by the enemy and we become slaves to his lies in our mind. Do y'all see this? This is as real to me as the nose on my face and your face. And this is why it's so important that we renew our minds to the word, that we learn to, instead of meditating on the lies, that we meditate on God's word. We want to read the word. We want to spend time. We want to listen to the word. We want to meditate on the word. Let it roll around and around in our hearts. We want to declare the word out of our mouth instead of listening to the lies, meditating on the lies, and talking that. Instead, we want to do this with the word. You got to be able to get a hold of truth and begin to speak truth, and then you'll realize the lie. You know, I've told you this before many times. They don't train you in Taylor school. They don't train you how to recognize a counterfeit $100 bill. They don't. They train you how to know a real $100 bill. Then when a counterfeit comes, you'll recognize it. If you know the real. You got to know the way the real looks and the way it's patterned. Then you'll recognize the false. And so it's the same with the word. when I spend time in the Word, my mind gets anchored to the Word. My mind gets anchored to truth. And when I know truth, then I recognize a lie when He starts feeding that junk to me. Amen? A renewed mind is powerful when it's anchored in, renewed to the Word. It's a powerful thing. Bill Johnson says this, and I jotted this down. It's such a good word. You know your mind is renewed when the impossible looks possible. How many times do we act like something is just so impossible? That ought to tell you something. Here's your sign right there. There's your sign. Am I right, Miss Nellie? Is this truth? Am I preaching truth? When stuff looks impossible, you know you started believing lies somewhere. When stuff looks impossible, you're believing a lie. Because with God, everything's possible. And those who believe, for those who believe, all things are possible. It's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you the Word. I'm not making up stuff as I go. That is the Bible. That's Scripture. So what I want to know, are there areas in our thinking, are there areas in our mind where we have become oppressed or slaves of the lies the enemy's told? And my prayer has been that as I have mused and meditated and read Scripture on this over the last few weeks, the Lord brought something to my attention in my own life. And so my prayer was, okay, as the Word goes out, then I want others to be able to get a hold of that as well. That if there are areas where you've believed a lie, and now that lie's dragging you around like it owns you, when it's against the truth, it's contrary to who God says you are, it's contrary to who He is, it's contrary to what He said about you or your whatever situation. If there are, I want Him to have. Can anybody say that this morning, as the Word has gone forth, I have recognized some stuff that I've bought? Okay, thank you for somebody being honest here. Amen. I want us to know so that we can be aware and quickly refute His lies with truth. Kenneth Hagin said this, and I've told you this before. He said, "You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair." The liar lies. It's what he does. He's going to lie. It's what he does. But you can stop him. You can stop that lie. And if it gets by, you have a sword of the Spirit called the Word of God that you can use to remove those lies, those fiery darts. I want to let's take time. You don't have to have me pray for you over this. The Word is the Word, and it's good. If you want somebody to pray with you, that's fine. But I want to let's take time to address some things on this personally. And if you feel better sitting in your own chair doing it, that's fine too. Or if you'd rather come up here in this altar and do it, that's okay. I don't care. Whatever works better for you. But I want you to get down and dirty with the liar. I do. You know, the truth, everybody says the devil doesn't play fair. We don't play fair either. We don't play fair either. We're using weaponry he can't handle. It isn't our own, it's God's. God gave it to us to use. We don't play fair either. We play right, though, because God said, that's why, makes it right. Father, I pray for this people this morning. I thank you, Lord, your word is true. And I thank you, Lord, that you are desiring for your people to be free of every area of our thinking where the enemy has come in to build. He's coming to build a stronghold. His intent is to disqualify who you are in our lives and who we are with you. His intent is to do that stuff so that he can build up strongholds in our thinking, mess with our thinking, hide behind that, and steal from us all our lives. His intentions are to keep us from being able to trust you and believe you, that you are a good father, that you are a powerful God, that there is none like you, nor will there ever be, that there's nothing impossible for you and nothing impossible for us if we believe. So he really wants to mess with that and disqualify us in that by building up these areas of lies in our thinking. And this morning, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to reveal things to us, areas to us, and even in the upcoming days, I pray this word does not leave them, but it stays with them continuously, that they can't get away from the truth of this word. And that you will show us areas where we have allowed the liar to work on us. And we will be quick to repent of playing with it, meditating on it, buying into it, talking it out of our mouths. And we will be quick to take the truth of your word and tear down strongholds in our thinking. We don't want our thinking to be contrary to you and what you said. We don't want our thinking contrary to who you are and who you say we are. So we'll be quick to repent and deal with it with truth. God, I thank you for this word this morning. I thank you for this. I thank you for helping us see this in light that maybe we've not put it all together in before. But you brought it together by your Holy Spirit so powerfully, so accurately, that we can't miss it. We thank you for that, Lord. You are good to us. You are good to us. We thank you for that. And I just believe with them right now for every lie they've believed to be exposed and for them to take hold of your word and overthrow and demolish those strongholds. Just like taking a sledgehammer to a brick wall and watching the truth like a sledgehammer hit that thing and that wall falling, crumbling, being demolished right before you. And it's a wall that the enemy's been hiding behind. It's a wall that's messed up your thinking in certain areas. And I just agree, walls being demolished in Jesus' name. Every one of them. Every one of them. Amen. Amen. And that they would get into your word and renew their minds to the word of God, which transforms us, transforms our lives. Amen. Now, does anybody need prayer for anything?